Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live from the National Religious Broadcasters Convention in Nashville, Tennessee, and we want to hear from you just the same. That toll-free number, 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC, or the phone number, 844-322-2742. Open lines right now. Give us a call. Now, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're talking about the love of God, and our passion here at Basic Gospel is really to connect as many people to the love of Jesus Christ as God would see fit to do through this ministry. There's nothing better than knowing and experiencing the love of Jesus
Absolutely.
Christ. There's lots of things out there in the world that look appealing, that look enticing, that look alluring, but they're all empty when you lift up the hood, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But as far as the love of God is concerned, it's the real thing. And really, life is too short to miss out on it. So
right.
Don't miss out on being connected to the love of Christ. Yesterday, we spoke specifically to the husbands out in the audience. There's the great passage in Ephesians 5 that says, for husbands to love their wives as Christ loves the church. Well, how do you do that? Well, in Ephesians 5:18, we get a little clue as to how that can be a reality in a husband's life and anyone's life. And Paul wrote this, don't be drunk with wine because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, this is one of those passages that is greatly misunderstood. There's a lot of confusion that swirls around Ephesians 5:18. And folks have lifted it out of the pages of the book, and they've come up with their own interpretations. But when you put it back into the context, the real meaning of it just comes to life.
Yeah.
And what is that meaning? Well, basically what Paul is saying to us is that when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we are filled with an understanding and a heart experience of the height and depth and length and breadth of the love of Christ Jesus. That's what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit, is to be controlled by the love of God.
Yeah.
Well, when we're controlled by the love of God, or compelled by the love of God, or restrained by the love of God, then we're going to see that being lived out in our day-to-day experiencing, specifically within the context of marriage.
Yeah.
So be filled with the Holy Spirit. In other words, be controlled by the love of God. Now, this filling, Richard, is something different than being indwelt by the Spirit, isn't it?
Yes, yes. Being indwelt is what happens as soon as you accept Jesus, when you are born again, and you are sealed, sealed with the Holy Spirit for salvation. But that's just the beginning of the story, because after that, we all get a chance to be taught by the Spirit as he transforms us from the inside out. So to be filled with the Spirit is to be ever more aware of the love of God flowing into us and then through us to other people.
So we're always indwelt by God's Spirit.
Yes.
As a believer, you will always be indwelt by God's Spirit. You can't be a Christian if God's Spirit doesn't live inside of you. If God's Spirit doesn't live inside of you, you do not belong to Christ. And if that's the case, it's time. Today is the day
Yes.
for you to hear the good news of Jesus and receive him into your life. Be born again of the Spirit of God. And that is the most exciting step of faith that you will ever take, is trusting Jesus Christ and being made alive. Well, when that happens, the Spirit takes up permanent residence. He moves in. He calls your heart his new home. So you are always indwelt by the Spirit, but that doesn't mean you're always filled with the Spirit. Sometimes we listen to the temptations of the world. Sometimes we listen to our flesh, and we give in to those voices. Well, when we do, we're not being controlled by the love of God. So what do we do in those situations? We recognize that, and we say, Lord, I want to be controlled by the love of God. I want the love of God to compel me in all decisions that I make. And so you open up your heart and mind to God's Spirit to teach you again, to teach you afresh the love of Christ, and to let that love so fill your heart that it just naturally overflows into the lives of others. That's what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit.
And that's the good news that you hear on Basic Gospel every day, friends. And we want to hear from you. If you have something you'd like to add to the conversation, if you have perhaps a Bible passage you can't quite understand, if there's some circumstance in your life that you need some guidance on and you need to discuss it, well, give us a call. That's why we're here live, and we'd love to hear from you. Again, that number, 844-32-BASIC, or the full number, 844-322-2742. This is Basic Gospel, and thanks for joining us, everybody.
Bob, I want to remind our listeners about our upcoming event, March 7th. That's just a week and a half away, basically, in Vacaville, California, at the Valley Church. We're so excited about this conference. Yeah. It's going to be a wonderful opportunity for us to engage with some of our listeners in Northern California, a wonderful opportunity for our listeners to really get some meaty teaching about this gospel message and how it applies to day-to-day living. I mean, this is one of those conferences that could just change the way you live your day-to-day life. So come join us March 7th at the Valley Church. We're grateful for our two radio sponsors, KFIA and KDIA.
In San Francisco.
Yes, indeed.
Yes,
so come be a part of that March 7th. All the information is on our website at basicgospel.net.
Basicgospel.net, or you can speak with our operator, Billy, at 844-41-BASIC. That number is 844-41-BASIC.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Brooklyn, New York, and talk to Louise listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Louise.
Hi, how are you?
Doing fine. What's on your mind today?
All right. The Song of Solomon. I don't quite understand. Is he talking about Jerusalem, or they talk really about a woman? Is he talking about a woman?
Well, there is that aspect of it. It's talking about a love between a husband and a wife. There's very intimate passages in that particular book of the Old Testament. But it also talks about God's great love for his church through Jesus Christ. So everything that we see, Louise, in the Old Testament really is about Jesus in some way, shape, or form. It's a foreshadowing of who he is, of what he's accomplished for us, of his great love for the church. And that's never more evidenced than within the relationship of man and wife. That's what Paul talks about in Ephesians when he says, for husbands, you're to love your wife just as Christ loved the church. And he goes on to say, this is a great mystery. Marriage is a great mystery, but it is an illustration of the way Christ and the church are one. So that's the message that God wants us to really take away from the Word of God, is Christ's love for his church and the fact that we've become one. And the Song of Solomon does that in a beautiful way, as it describes a relationship between man and woman. Richard, do you have anything to say on that?
Oh, I would agree exactly with what you said. I mean, what Solomon describes here is the beauty of married life, and as beautiful as that is, it's still but a shadow of how much Jesus loves the church.
Mm. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome, Louise. Thanks for your call. We sure appreciate it.
Yes, indeed.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Let's go to Arvada, Colorado, and talk with Chris, listening to us on oneplace.com. Hi, Chris.
Hey, how you doing? It's Chris. It's been a while since we've spoken, and been a couple of times so far, but I'm still having issues with whether I'm really saved or not. I listen to you guys all the time, pretty much. And sometimes I run across something that I just definitely needed to hear, it seems like. But I'm still having a lot of hard time. It seems like I'll never be saved no matter what, and that I'm, yeah, and
why do you think you're not saved? What's the issue that's really causing you to doubt?
I'm not sure. It just seems like I'm not maybe taking Jesus at his word that he'll save me or something. And then if I think that I believe that he won't save me specifically, but he will others, then means that I haven't believed and thus not saved and thus not chosen to be saved.
Well, Chris, usually when I run across that, and, you know, I'll refer to my own life as well, that if I think God will save somebody else but not me, what I'm saying is that I think that other person is worthy of salvation and I'm not worthy. And there's a reason that I would feel that I'm not worthy. For me, I could never escape sin. The more I tried to do good, the worse I became. And that was troublesome to me. And it was so troubling to my soul that I came to the point and said, God, you must not love me. I mean, I had prayed to receive Christ literally hundreds of times during my college. Yeah. So I had to come to a point, Chris, and say, enough's enough. Either I believe he saved me or not. And what really clicked for me was a Bible study that I went to, and the teacher started teaching about Colossians and that salvation was much more than forgiveness, that salvation was being made alive together with Christ, and that he had forgiven all of my sins. And for some reason, that was a light bulb moment, an aha moment, like it really, really clicked. I had given up, you know, I had tried to be good, and I realized that I couldn't, so I had given up. And then, you know, I saw the gospel in a completely different light, and that changed everything for me. And from that day forward, I stopped asking Jesus to come live in my life. I just recognized that he was there, that I had been made alive with Christ because of his resurrection, that he had come to live inside of me, and I began to thank him for being there. And that changed everything for me.
I just can't get over this. I've talked to people a million times, talked to you guys a couple of times over this. I've heard sermons and this and that. And I just can't get over it. And then just been very scared and bothered by how knowing that judgment is coming, and it's going to be pretty soon, I believe, and when the rapture happens. And
well, Chris, as far as judgment is concerned, you know, God sent the Spirit into this world to convict the world wrong concerning sin. And concerning sin because they do not believe in Jesus. So the judgment is simply this. Do you believe Jesus died to take away your sins and was raised again so that you can have eternal life? Or do you not believe that he did that? That's kind of the measuring thing right there. That's what God is interested in. What did you do with Jesus? So your heart is open to Jesus. You're not rejecting Jesus. So I think it's just a matter of driving the stake and saying, you know, from this point forward, I'm going to trust you explicitly. I'm going to trust you with all that I am. I'm going to stop trying to earn my way into heaven. I'm going to stop trying to feel like I'm saved. I'm just going to trust your finished work, and I'm going to thank you for it. And I think that attitude of thankfulness is one of the most genuine expressions of faith that there is. So I would just encourage you to maybe write today's date down and say, this is the day that I'm trusting the Lord 100%.
Yeah, I did that. I last time we talked, I did that, wrote that down, and then wrote a verse in John, he that believeth in me hath eternal life, or I don't know.
John 5?
I can't remember. Yeah, and I put that down after the date that I did it on, and for one of the times. But I just can't get it through my stupid head on this.
It's that head of ours that messes us up a lot, isn't it? And that's why God calls us to be renewed in the mind. You know, you've had a lot of years of doubt, and I did too. And those doubts form these trenches in our brains. And it seems like everything
God
just
won't save me, and He doesn't love me, and it's judgment, and hell is inevitable, no matter what.
But you know that's not true, Chris. That's not true. God demonstrated His love for you, in this: while you were a sinner, Christ died. So He's already demonstrated His love to you, and He tells you that time and time again, day after day after day, that His love for you is sure. There's nothing that you can do to change that. He's already demonstrated it for you. He took away your sins. That's how God showed that he loved you. So the fact that He died for you, Chris, is evidence of His great love for you. And then to take it a step further, the fact that He's come to live inside of you and has said He will never leave you nor forsake you, that's even more evidence that His love for you is real, and that nothing that you do can separate you from His love. So it's just a matter of saying, okay, I'm thinking something, I'm believing something, but it's not true, and I want to walk in truth. And here's truth: God does love me. He's demonstrated that love for me. And I am going to take my stand right there. I'm going to put my feet on that spot and let that be an anchor for my soul when these doubts come my way.
Okay?
So take your stand today on the love of God. He deemed you so worthy of His love that He sent Jesus. That's an amazing demonstration.
It's like, okay, He loves me, great, but He loves everyone, so it doesn't mean they're saved, you know, necessarily.
But you said a minute ago, Chris, that He didn't love you. And that you were not worthy of salvation, and that you were just ready for judgment and punishment. So
that's true.
So we have to start with the basics. We have to say, you are thinking error, and error is going to put you in bondage. If you want to be free, you have to start with truth, and you have to start with the most important aspect of truth, and that is the love of Christ. That love was demonstrated for you in Jesus through His death on the cross. Take your stand right there. Let your heart say thank you.
Okay? Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Chris. I know what you're going through.
Yeah.
I know what you're going through. And I'm telling you, if you learn to take your stand on the love of God, learn to say thank you for what He's accomplished, you will see those doubts starting to fade slowly but surely. Give God time to renew your mind, okay?
Okay.
All right. Thanks for your call, Chris.
And Chris, don't hesitate to call us back, man. because the battle's going to be there. Call us every time. It's worth talking about.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chris. We love you, my friend.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. Let's go to Diane in New York, New York, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Diane.
Hello. How are you?
Doing fine.
Hello. Oh, praise God.
How are you, how are you today?
I'm not doing too well today.
How can we help you?
I'm having a lot of, I guess my dilemma is something like the young man that just got off the phone. I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior in 1991. And in 2002, I became very sick with liver disease. And recently, I became ill with heart disease. And it's like I just, for the past couple years, my illness has been going down. And I haven't been able to serve the Lord as I used to, or go out to the house of worship. And I feel that I'm losing my salvation, and that I don't understand why. You know, I'm going through so much. I'm going through the heart pains. I have leakage in my heart, but I can't have surgery because of other conditions in my body, and I just don't know. I keep believing that there's something that I've done, and
well, Diane, let's just settle that right now, because what you're going through right now, as far as your health issues, is not the result of some sin you've done in the past. The punishment for sin went upon Jesus. Every sin, Diane, that you've committed or will commit has already been dealt with by God through Jesus' death. He saw it all, Diane, and he took it all away. And now in Christ, he's given you forgiveness of sins. One of my favorite passages, and it's repeated in Colossians, it's in Ephesians chapter 1 and also in Colossians chapter 1, it says this: for in Christ you have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. You already have that. So what you're going through is not a punishment, is not the result of something you've done in the past. It's simply life here on planet Earth. And God loves you in the midst of it. God's love for you is as strong for you today as it's ever been. He knows what you're going through. He knows the pain you're dealing with. He knows the heartache that you're experiencing. But he wants you to know, above all of that, that his love for you is real, it's secure, and that nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. So, Diane, are you willing to say, thank you, Lord, for taking away all of my sins and for giving me forgiveness in Christ?
Yes, thank you, Lord, for taking away all my sins and forgiving me in Jesus Christ.
You cling to that, okay? What I want to do for you, Diane, we're about out of time. I'm going to put you on hold. We've got some fabulous resources that I want to send to you. And we want to stay in touch. We want to walk this journey with you. We want to make ourselves available to you to call us anytime, and that we can just be a part of what you're going through, okay?
Okay, thank you.
You hold on, Diane. God loves you. Oh. Remember that, and nothing can separate you. You hang on.
Okay.
Yes, indeed. Once again, Bob, we'll remind our listeners of the Hear It, Believe It, Live It tour coming up at Valley Church in Vacaville, California on March 7th. You'll find all the information in addition, an opportunity to register online when you visit the events tab at basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Well, thanks for joining us, everybody. Now for Bob and Richard of the staff, Bob Davis saying God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.